In the context of an orchestra, you see the double bass section standing toward the back of the strings, either on the right or the left side, bringing oceanic depth to the sound of the whole ensemble. That was the sound of the double bass up close. Joel Corrington with David Gelbert on piano, playing the scherzo from the violin sonata by Robert Fuchs. You're listening to Sunday Night at the TSO. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. My guest tonight knows a thing or two about that particular job. 26-year-old Chris Lavin is one of the newest members of the TSO's bass section. He hails from Boston, which is where he got his start on that instrument. Fast forward to 2023, when he initially joined the TSO. He recently received his tenure, and he's here to tell us what it's like to join our great symphony orchestra. Chris Lavin, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's awesome. It's awesome to be out here.
It's wonderful to meet you, and welcome to Toronto. You're new to Toronto. You're new to the orchestra,
yeah.
And I'm looking forward to hearing all about how you got here. We have a few get-to-know-you questions.
Sweet.
Who's your favorite composer?
I really want to say Bach, but I feel like saying Bach is very, like, basic, you know. It's like you say Bach and it's like, oh well, of course he's the best. I love Bach's music. I love playing the cello suites, and his continuo parts are so interesting and filled with enthusiasm, and yeah, it's awesome. But I think orchestrally speaking, Shostakovich is probably my favorite symphonic composer. I love Shostakovich, yeah. He's the man.
You picked two of my favorites too, actually. Yeah, I only recently decided that I had a favorite, and it's Bach.
But it
took me years and years and years, and I was like, you know what, let's just not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
Do you have a guilty pleasure movie?
I don't really watch a lot of movies or TV shows, I mean, realistically speaking, but I think if I had to pick one, I would say Star Wars Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie. People like to hate on the prequels, honestly, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But I'm surprised. Yeah.
I know. But that movie came out on my sixth birthday, and I remember just like losing it. I was like, oh, this is so cool. And like, yeah, it was awesome. And the music is, I think that's my favorite. As far as all the Star Wars films go, that's like my favorite score. I like that one a lot.
What's your dream vacation destination?
Anywhere in the mountains. My family used to go out to the, and we still do, my dad plays there every year in the Grand Tetons in Wyoming. My mom has been going since she was a kid on her family vacations out in the 60s. And they both used to play out in the festival. My dad still does. So I absolutely love the mountains. Any season, summer, winter, spring, fall. I love skiing too. So any chance I have to kind of get out of the city and go and experience the mountains and or nature, any nature in that for that matter, is my dream vacation. Definitely mountains over beach for me. Yeah.
What's your favorite place in Toronto?
Kensington. Easy. Right. Yeah. I love Kensington. That's where I get my haircuts. That's where I get my tattoos. I love the thrift stores, and I love all the food over there and the culture. The pedestrian days are so fun. Just like all the vendors, the energy is super, super great. Yeah, that's an easy one for me, Kensington, all the way.
So tell us a bit about your background. You come to us from Boston / Houston,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, so yeah, I was born into a musical family. My dad is a cellist. My mom is a piccolo player. And I was born in Houston when my mom was playing in the HSO and my dad was in the opera. And my brother is a cellist. He took after my dad. But I started on violin in Houston. I was always switching back from violin and cello, and I was always playing piano. Like piano was really the first instrument, as is the case for many, many musicians. When I was 7, we moved to Boston. My mom got a job in the BSO,
Boston Symphony.
Boston Symphony, yeah, which is crazy. Like I have so much admiration for her for doing that. I mean, she was in a full time job, like in a full time orchestra, two like young kids, and we were kind of crazy. My brother and I. He's 4 years older. And just like she pulled it together and was like, you know, one more time, I'm going to go for it. And she got it and was like.
Well, that is incredible.
Incredible.
That's like a top
yeah,
job. There's
yeah.
like how many piccolo players in an orchestra?
Exactly.
One.
Yeah. She's incredible. She and my dad are definitely two of my role models. And I mean, my brother is, I think, my biggest musical inspiration. But we moved to Boston, and I remember I still was playing the violin at that point, mostly because I was kind of small, and my mom was like, "Oh, you're too small to play the bass. Like, you just play the violin."
Had you asked already
bass? Big time. Yeah, I was like anything low. Like, I remember like going up to the piano at our house and just like slamming the low notes and like feeling the vibration. I was like, "Yeah, like this is cool."
Okay.
Wanted to play the tuba, the trombone, anything that like had that low sound. My teacher that I ended up studying with at NEC for my master's told my mom when I was young and just starting, he was like, "Oh yeah, you know they make basses small enough for kids." And I was like, oh, this is sneaky. So I started bass in third grade, and I had my first lesson with Larry Wolf, our assistant principal, second chair in the BSO, and he's like my bass dad. I got to work a lot with him, and then eventually switched to Susan Hagen because Larry does a million things. He composes. He was at the time was teaching at NEC, and not to mention playing, you know, principal of the Pops and then second chair in the BSOs. That's like he had a lot on his plate, and so he wasn't really teaching privately, but he put me on to Susan, and it was like that was it. Susan Hagen is an incredible. She's the principal bass of the Pops Esplanade Orchestra. And yeah, just ever since that first lesson with Larry, I remember him getting on his knees on my like little tiny bass and like having these hot dog moments, as he would say.
Hot dog moments.
Yeah, he would just show off, you know. Okay. Be like, "Oh, look what I can do." And like, you would do some crazy stuff. And
it would inspire you.
Yeah, just that whole, and growing up in that city and that bass section in particular kind of has a mystique about it. And amongst our culture, there's bass culture. There's like a couple of sections, like Philly and Boston.
Really?
In particular. I didn't know that. Yeah, like, because it's a very particular style of playing. And a lot of it has to do with the hall. The individual halls, like for Boston and, you know, Symphony Hall is an incredible space, and it's so live, and I mean it's just beautiful to look at, let alone play in and listen to. So they have developed their style of playing around that, and likewise with Philly, they've developed their style of playing around how their hall works for them. And yeah, so just growing up around those bass players in Boston and always seeing them in the foreground, you know, it was really big for me, and getting to be around them at Tanglewood every summer and like, you
right.
Know.
So that's their summer home.
Their summer home.
So you would go there with your mom.
I would go with my, yeah, we would go out there, and you know, it was funny. I hated going out there when I was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah. When I was young, I was like, I want to be back home. Like all my friends are doing this.
Oh, you felt kind of isolated.
Yeah. You know, but we had a good community of like, we called ourselves BSO brats, or they called us BSO brats. So the kids of the members of the orchestra. And so I have great memories of just like running around the lawn, like with my brother, like tossing frisbees, like tossing a football, like just being a kid in this like vast place. And then like a lot of my greatest memories are there from there. And that really changed when I started taking music more seriously, and I did BUTI, which is the Boston University Tanglewood Institute. That's when I realized how special music and bass is and how special Tanglewood is. Yeah, so those programs really, really set me up to be a musician, I guess.
Yeah, that's really a rarefied experience. How amazing to grow up in that kind of environment and around all those people.
Yeah, totally.
So now you're in Toronto.
I am.
Tell us how you got here.
Well, I mean, I did my undergrad at Rice and studied with Tim Pitts.
In Houston,
which, born in Houston and then went to Boston and then back to Houston. And then I did my master's at NEC with Todd Siebert.
Right, at the New England Conservatory. Yeah, so back to Boston,
Yep, so I was just kind of bouncing around. And I had just played my graduate degree recital, my master's recital, a couple weeks before the resume date was due, and I was like, I don't know, like, I kind of want to take for the audition, the resume date was due. And I was like, maybe I should take a break after this is done. Like, I'm kind of tired. Like, I'll take the next semester to do all the auditions and stuff, but I just want to celebrate my recital and go home for winter break be home for winter break. But my brother, who, like I said, was a cellist, he's now in the Grand Rapids Symphony out in Michigan. And his wife, who's the associate concertmaster over there, really musical family. they convinced me. They were like, "Dude, just take the audition. Like, it's a good list. It's a cool city. The orchestra's awesome. Just like, yeah, take a couple days, but like, you'll be hot from your recital anyways. Just like, go go do it. And so submitted the resume, got the time, told my teacher. And I was like, hey, Todd, like, I'm going to take this audition. And he was like, oh, okay. And I played the recital. And then I had, like they said, I had a day or two to just like kind of recenter and organize. And then I had like 2 weeks to prepare the audition. And I came here and I played well. And I got the job. And and there were three of us, too, who got the job, Mark Lilly and Jesse Dale. And Jesse and I were actually at NEC together with Todd. We were fellows at TMC together at Tanglewood. And so coming in with him and being in the room and hearing his name get called alongside mine was just, it was so, there was just a relief.
Because
I was like, I'll have someone I know to go into this with. And it's been really great to spend some time with him and just get to know the orchestra and the city well. So yeah, it's been good.
2 weeks isn't that long.
No, that's definitely
Can
the
I just
shortest.
Say?
Yeah, it's the shortest I've ever had to prepare for anything. But I was taking auditions throughout my master's anyways. So a lot of it was still fresh. A lot of the material and the list was, it was a great list that like
of excerpts.
Play, yeah. And so like, yeah, shout out to Jeff and Michael in the bass section to putting together a great list and running and a really great audition. I was practicing all of those excerpts anyways for previous auditions. And then I had to prepare a recital. And so my solo chops were kind of feeling good and the bass was warm and my hands were warm and it just kind of like happened. And I didn't have a perfect audition. I think like a lot of people think that like when you take an audition, like you have to play absolutely perfectly to win. But like a lot of times, you know, you can play as well as you think, like as the best you've ever played, and it doesn't happen. And that's okay, you know. I remember in the final, like just one high note at the very end of this Heldenleben excerpt. And it was just, I heard it ring throughout the hall and it just came back to me so out of tune. And I was like, oh, like this is going to be, and it was in the finals and it was long, right? We had a really long final and yeah, but you know.
Because how many rounds are there? Can you briefly
break down the audition?
Walk us through this audition process because it's a thing.
Totally. It's funny. So a lot of my friends who aren't musicians, I grew up playing basketball with, and we were on teams together. And basketball, I think, really is my first love besides music. But either way, whenever they just ask me to describe what an audition is like, I'm like, okay, think of March Madness or the NBA playoffs. There's rounds, and then there's a final. And then sometimes the final has to go overtime. And then to put it in musical concepts again, is a preliminary round, a semifinal round, and then a final round. And sometimes there's a super final round if they can't decide, you know, at that within the final, and they'll ask people to play again. But before all that, sometimes you're required to send in an audition tape, a supplemental tape, if you send your resume and they're like, okay, we want to hear just a little more before we can accept this resume, and then you send a tape. And then I've had to send tapes before, and it's part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process, and I'm glad I took auditions and before taking Toronto. I'm glad that wasn't my first one. Mm-hmm. Just so I could have a routine, have a sense of like how I want to approach the preparation and approach the music. And it's hard.
Yeah, there's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it. It's not like a normal job interview. Like, again, like all my friends who aren't musicians, they're like, oh, so when you do an audit, like, you have to do an interview or anything? I'm like, no.
No, they don't talk to you at all. Do they?
No, the only time they talk to you is when they tell you to play something again, or they ask if they want to hear something differently. Like, I remember I was told to play something like, could you do it with the same tone but with a little less vibrato or something like that? So being able to adapt, it's a funny experience.
And then you win the job.
And then you win the job.
And then it's still not quite over.
Yeah, and then you got to get tenure.
Which I understand you have.
I did, yeah. All three of the new bass players, we received our tenure notifications in March, I think.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
And how long was that process? How long did you have to be there?
Two years.
Two years.
Two-year process. for TSO. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to be a tenured member of the TSO?
You know, like, it's great. It's really cool. Like, there's a lot of weight off the shoulders. A lot of moments before I had tenure where I was, you know, I'd play and I'd mess something up and I'd like yell at myself in my head, and then I'd go into like a dark place and be like, I'll never get tenure, you know, like just like thinking of, you know, Maestro Mena, like Gustavo Mena, like just in my meeting being like, okay, thanks, like see you later. And like, it's really hard. Yeah. It's just really hard to.
Well, yeah. Being on trial for 2 years.
Being on trial for 2 years. My mom likes to say, it's funny. She was like, every time she's had to get a tenure, she's like, if the principal asked me to stand on my head and like juggle with my feet, I'll do it, and play the flute upside down, like I'll, you know, no questions. And so like you kind of have to be adaptable, and you have to be willing to learn. Another way I would describe it to my non-musicians friends is like, yeah, I made the team, but like I'm not really on the team yet. You know, I have to like go through the experience, like I have to get past training camp, you know, or I get cut, kind of thing.
Right.
But they were all of my colleagues in the bass section and in the orchestra as a whole were all very supportive and very open about, hey, if you need anything, let us know. Like Michael Chiarella, he helped me find my first apartment out here last year, or 2 years ago now in the summer. And so things like that, just like people being really outgoing and of making themselves available as a resource. They were all amazing.
What have been some of your favorite experiences so far?
In or out of the orchestra, or both?
Let's start with in.
In. Well, the first concert of my first year, I mean, we did Rite of Spring, and that's like one of my favorite pieces. That was pretty incredible. And my mom hadn't started her season yet in Boston, so my parents came up to go see the performance, and which was really sweet. And yeah, like, that was really cool. Especially with Gustavo, he's, you know, as a percussionist, he's so great with the stick and so great with the rhythm. And a piece like that, it like just made it was the easiest Rite of Spring I'd ever played. Partly because I was so stressed out about it going into it. I had practiced it for like 3 weeks before. I was like, I gotta nail this the first time. So the preparation definitely helped, but Maestro's, Jimeno is incredible. So that was a great first week of work for me. Another concert we did last year, I had mentioned Shostakovich before, but we did Shostakovich's 10th symphony last year in the early spring, I think. And that's probably my favorite Shostakovich symphony, so that was really cool. This year we've done some great music. I've started working with the TSYO as their coach.
Oh, amazing.
So that's been a highlight. A bunch of great kids in the TSYO, and so that's another highlight. For on the stage, I would say those three have been top for me so far.
And what's been a highlight off stage?
Off stage, I got offered, one of my friends in the orchestra, he was like, hey, I got tickets to a Snoop Dogg concert, and my wife doesn't want to come. And I was like, would you want to come along? And I was like, yeah. And so we like, it was like the day of, I was like, I was at dinner and I got this text and I was like, no way. And so I showed up to work, and we went over to this bar where he was just kind of DJing and hanging out. And that was really fun to get to spend time with him. And that was cool. I love basketball, like I said. So I got a chance to go see the Celtics play in Toronto. And, you know, that's my favorite team. Getting to go to Blue Jays games and see them, and see the Red Sox when they're in town. So like just doing those things, going to Kensington, like my favorite days are when I go and get a haircut and get a new tattoo, like those great days. So yeah, just being out and about is really fun.
We're looking ahead to the 2025-26 season. Is there anything particular that you're excited about?
Another Shostakovich 9 we're doing. I've never played that. I'm super stoked to get to dive into that piece. Obviously the tour, I'm really, really excited about. I've never been to Spain, never been to Amsterdam, never been to, I think all of the cities we're going to, I've never experienced. I'm really looking forward to the tour and just kind of checking more Beethoven symphonies off the list for me. Like I'm working on it. I'm getting them down. But surprisingly, I've never played 5 before.
Oh.
So I see that in October and coming up in October, and I'm really, really excited to learn that, the whole symphony and get to play it. It's funny, I got to coach it at TSYO this season, the kids played it, and I was like coaching it, and I played all the excerpts because there's a lot of stuff for the basses in that piece. And I know the piece because everybody knows Beethoven 5. But it was funny. It's like, you know, I played a lot of the other pieces we played. Like I played Dvorak 8 in the TSYO, played that. And, you know, I played the Ravel Alberata, and TSO just played that. But I hadn't played Beethoven 5. So I'm excited to check that off the list. I'm in Beethoven 9, obviously. That's just another one that's got a lot of bass stuff.
Oh, yeah. But you've got that big recitative.
You've got the big recits and the... And that whole fourth movement really just is a killer. But it's so beautiful. I've performed that once, and I'm excited and looking forward to play it again, for sure. Yeah.
What are your summer plans?
You know, right now, not really sure. Kind of just seeing what happens. Hopefully, I'll get to do some playing at Tanglewood with the BSO. Hopefully. I mean, fingers crossed. I don't know what that'll look like, but... I've reached out and like, hey, I'll be home all summer. You know,
you're going back to Boston.
Yeah, I'll be going back to Boston for the majority of the summer and being out with my mom at Tanglewood, and then my dad will be in Wyoming for a little bit playing with Grand Teton, GTMF. So I'll go out there and I'll do some hiking and climbing and get to experience the mountains, and then we'll both kind of head back with my mom. I did that last year too. It's great. Having the summers off means I can travel. But last year, I didn't work much. I played like one show. But this year, I really would like to work more. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm kind of leaving the calendar open and just kind of going with the flow. And I'm just going to experience summer, I guess. I don't know.
Great. Well, yeah. It's great to meet you.
And it's awesome.
Congratulations again.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Toronto has been a great place. A great city. It's really nice to be in just a really diverse, multicultural, urban city. Like I said, I love nature, but I think being in a city and being around different people and, you know, eating different kinds of foods and going to experience different neighborhoods and going to shows and, you know, seeing all that, trying to see as much as the city that has to offer, it's great. So yeah, Toronto's been awesome.
Great. Glad to hear it.
Thanks.
That was TSO bass Chris Lavin. You can see Chris every week at Roy Thompson Hall during the TSO season, holding it down with his bass-playing peers. And it will be great to see him in action October 11th and 12th in one of the pieces he is super excited to perform next season, Beethoven's Fifth. Just imagine.